Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino. Guys being dudes on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
Better than this, guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We are your hosts. Chris Schubert's here floating around producing this thing. We're from the Draft Network, and we are brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports betting needs. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends over at Bet Online. They feature live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. They are always your fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. So head to betonline.ag to join and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just be sure to use our promo code BELEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, a happy National Winnie the Pooh Day to you.
Oh, bother.
Happy National Winnie the Pooh Day. Not too big on Winnie the Pooh, if we're being honest.
No, Joe, is it the entire cartoon or is it just specifically Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, does Winnie have his own day or what?
Like, what's going on here?
Wasn't the cartoon called Winnie the Pooh?
Right, that's what the cartoon was called. But, like, are we celebrating, like, are we just celebrating Pooh? Or...
Well, let me take a look here at the details of Winnie the Pooh.
I mean, this is kind of your gimmick on the show.
Yeah. I promise you, are we just celebrating Pooh is going to go on the soundboard as well.
It's the guy. Okay. Wait, hold on.
All right.
I don't know. Okay. We could celebrate him. We could do whatever we want. You know what I mean? We could celebrate Kanga and Roo and Tigger, Piglet, Eeyore.
Kanga?
Eeyore's. Yeah, that's Roo's mother?
Is it? Clearly not a big Winnie the Pooh guy.
I'm unfamiliar.
Pretty sure.
I'm unfamiliar. Winnie the Pooh Day is going to be the theme of our big board today, because we're doing a big board today on the show.
That's why I'm doing this, right?
And that's why we're doing this. But I didn't look into the specifics of the day, so sorry to put you on the spot like that, Joe. I thought maybe you'd done a little bit more research.
Well,
but, you know.
I think all of the Winnie the Pooh characters are pretty much worth celebrating outside of Eeyore, who is just a low-energy
pain in the ass.
Nobody wants to be around him. He's always mad, you know, like... Get it together, man. Find some positivity. Be grateful for life. He doesn't do any of those things.
You ever hear Nick Saban running around the practice field yelling stumble bum at people just going through the motions?
Yeah.
Eeyore, go ahead, get yourself a stumble bum t-shirt, my guy.
Right. Hopefully he's doing better in his old age. So we have Check the Tape. We're going to do some big boards here of childhood characters. So that'll be coming up soon. Do we acknowledge the
childhood cartoons, not characters? But
I have two separate lists, and I would like a clerical note before we go any further.
We're doing childhood cartoons because it's National Winnie the Pooh Day,
no,
and we're celebrating the whole.
That's fine. It's childhood, as in like I'm 8 years old, or childhood like I'm 13.
Very
different lists.
It is. I stopped it. 12. I went from my being born up until 12 was the range of cartoons that I picked. So if I watched the cartoon in that span, it was eligible for my list.
Yeah, I think that's probably my approach as well.
And okay. My number one is something that I wouldn't have watched when I was 12, but I watched when I was younger and shaped a lot of my life. So that's the way my list came together. But yes, check the tape. Both guys have a topic, and then we'll get into cartoon shenanigans at the end of the show.
Do we acknowledge the end of the season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the advancement of the season for the Dallas Cowboys?
Everything's fine. I did that
yesterday on the TV and Daily podcast.
That was the best one yet. We've been saying it all year.
Everything's fine. There's nothing to worry about in Tampa Bay.
Nothing.
The only thing that was giving Tampa Bay fans hope in that game last night, entering in the game, was the fact that you had Tom Brady. Because every other statistical thing that we had told you you were not going to win that football game. But you had number 12, so you thought, well, maybe there's a chance.
You've had number 12 all season, and you average 18 points a game. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, ran for like 71 yards a game, right? Like, oh, but then we got Ryan Jensen back.
Right. When you can throw the ball 60 times to Tom Brady, you got to do it, right?
Bad coaching staff, holes on the roster, injuries. Lucky they got there, right? We'll see what Dallas moves on. They play the Niners, right?
Yep, 49ers, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles.
I hate that matchup for Dallas, but we'll get to that later in the week.
I had something, and then it came, and then it left again.
Oh, I don't know if you bit your tongue, like you decided not to say it, or...
I had this. Yeah, Tom's gone. Did you see what he said at the end of his presser after the game? Got all emotional and thanked everybody for being so welcoming of him to Tampa, and he hoped he reciprocated that professionalism.
And so he's playing someplace else next year.
It was definitely a goodbye to those people. Whether it's playing somewhere else or in a booth.
What a killer that $35 million dead cap hit's going to be for Tampa next year. When that's tough, man.
And they get a lot of guys to re-sign. It's going to be a tough transition year for Tampa.
Hard questions, right, is what you have to ask yourself and be real about them.
This was the focus of the Tuesday TDN Daily podcast in which I talked about they are in a fork in the road. They're either just going to continue to put their chips in the middle and try to make this work and go and sign a quarterback and try to make it happen, or
they're a four-win team with a different quarterback.
There's going to be some really tough years ahead for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right. Good for the Cowboys. A big win, right? That's been a minute since they've won a playoff game, if I'm not mistaken, so I'm sure Cowboys Nation is really happy. So.
Yeah. I feel real sorry for that playoff drought for the Cowboys. Congrats.
Check the tape. I have a college player, Kyle. I don't know what you have, but you always keep us on our toes.
Yes, I have a secret.
So does that mean you're going first or what?
I would prefer to go second, if we're being honest.
All right. Well, I will go first. My check the tape is going to be on Iowa defensive end edge defender Lucas Van Ness. Very buzzy prospect right now. A lot of hype, some concerns, and I paid close attention to him this year. Iowa's in my region, and their defense is a lot funner to watch than the offense. So Lucas Van Ness, watched him midseason, and then watched him again after the season. Kind of pieced it all together and did the final write up recently. So a little bit of background with Lucas Van Ness. Grew up playing hockey, and he started playing football in the eighth grade, and then he came to Iowa, redshirted in 2020, then spent 2021 more as an interior defensive lineman, and then in 2022 he was like a full-time edge defender. He made that transition during spring practices this year and played pretty much all of his snaps on the edge this year as a B-gap defender in 2021. There's a lot to like about this dude. I should probably have his measurables up. Give me 1 second to scroll down on my report to pull them. 6'5", 270 pounds. I guess he's got 34-inch arms. There's a good size, good length here. And he's a powerful defensive end. He's a guy that can really win with his power through angles, convert speed to power, really good bull rush, really good ability to use one arm and stab and build his rush plan off of that. He is a strong, strong dude that can really challenge the width of the pocket. And he does that not just with power, but there's a really nice timing component to how he is able to get into offensive tackles and fit his hands and put himself in positions to use his length, to use his power to maximize his ability to really compress the pocket. And for a guy that is 6'5", 270, long arms, power style player, I think where you really get excited is when you see how much quickness he offers and how much flexibility he offers. He's a guy that can really truly corner, flatten, and close. And he has good get off for a player of that stature. You can tell he's still pretty new to playing on the edge, right? I talk about this a lot. There's a certain natural reaction that comes to you as you read the set of an offensive tackle, know what they're trying to do with you. And when those responses, those correct responses become second nature, that's where I think you can really take over as a defensive end and play quicker. I think that's still a work in progress for Lucas Van Ness, but I think you can look at one season at defensive end and feel really good about how he's coming along. And I think he'll offer versatility in the NFL. I think you're going to want to play him on the edge, but if you want to reduce him inside, he is definitely a candidate that can do that. I think there's a lot of just upward mobility when it comes to getting the most out of his skill set as he develops and matures as a player. So I think there's just a really high ceiling here. Now, I think where people are going to get hung up on the evaluation with Van Ness is the fact that he has never started a game for Iowa across his two seasons on the playing field. And you're going to have to ask yourself questions as an evaluator as to why and how much you're going to care about that. Because the skill set's the skill set. It's pretty straightforward. It's very attractive. But are you going to let the fact that he never started a game at Iowa really impact your valuation of him? So the first question is, well, why didn't he start? Well, we know Iowa is very much one of those programs that rewards players for being there and you kind of earn those jobs. And so are you going to allow the fact that he wasn't on the field for the first play of the game to impact how you see him? Now, he's played a lot of football. He played 46% of their snaps defensively last year. He played 53% of their snaps this year. He's played 940 defensive snaps over the last two seasons, and that's a good amount of football. He just didn't play the first snap of the game. Jalen Carter at Georgia has played 1,075 snaps over the last 3 years. I don't think people are talking about an experience issue with Jalen Carter. They're thinking he's a top five pick no matter what. Well, Lucas Van Ness has played 940 snaps. And so it just, none of them were on the first snap of the game. And that's something to be mindful of. But that's something you're going to have to consider into it. I think just really building out his repertoire as a power rusher and developing his vision a little bit and block recognition skills, as that becomes second nature, as he develops more counters and fleshes out his rush plan, I think this is a really, really high ceiling football player that I think is very attractive in terms of skill set. I can see him going in the back 10, 15 of the first round, but certainly in the top 50 when it's all said and done.
Interesting player.
Lucas Van Ness.
Always appreciate those late bloomers, if you will, and the challenges that the risk reward that they pose for teams and who's in the place of mind to make that kind of bet versus who's not.
What I appreciate about the evaluation is the opportunities that he had in the Big Ten. And I'm just looking at my exposures, Michigan, Ryan Hayes, NFL offensive tackle, Ohio State, Paris Johnson, potentially the first tackle off the board. Northwestern, Peter Skoronski, had a couple battles against him. You know, I think you're going to really like how he's been challenged in those reps to get good intel on, you know, how everything's going to translate to the next level. So we'll see, man. I feel like there's mostly hype, but he didn't start any games. He wasn't on there for the first snap of the game. How much do you care about that, Kyle? I know that you maybe haven't seen Van Ness, but just like in a vacuum, this guy's not started any games. Is that a big stumbling block for you in the valuation?
No, because I understand all these different programs with all these different coaches have all these different criteria that you need to check these arbitrary boxes to become a starter, right? Like some of these coaches are super seniority, earn your spot, versus playing the best players, which to me is kind of dumb. I wouldn't do it that way, but it's like the whole discussion about, oh, well, Joe Burrow couldn't beat out the quarterbacks at Ohio State, right? Okay, is Joe Burrow bad? Justin Fields couldn't beat out Jake Fromm. So is Justin Fields bad? And contrary to what the hot take national television pundits would have you believe right now, no, he's not bad. You know, there's all these examples throughout the history of time of guys who are more talented and more capable not getting the snaps that they deserve because they have to earn their place in a college culture when you're only going to be there for 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. I think that's a great angle with that, but also, I mean, the Paris Johnson situation in the left tackle spot at Ohio State, right? Like,
well, in the center spot too. Like, right, it's like you got to earn your way to play center or left tackle.
So play out of position where you're not going to be able to maximize your skill set and be the most effective player that you can for the offensive line because of a weird pecking order and boxes you have to check in terms of seniority to be the center or left tackle at Ohio State.
It's inconsequential to me. Right. The tape is the tape.
Thank you.
Are you ready?
I come into these recordings, which are on Tuesday mornings for the Wednesday show, completely fascinated at what direction you're going to go. So this is no different.
You know, because I touched on it yesterday. I pulled up my computer and pulled up the tape on our overhauled mock draft simulator.
Oh, you even told me this and I forgot.
I know. And so I'm sitting here waiting for the light bulb to go on and never came.
Yeah, there it is.
I also forgot that this is what we were doing today on the show.
So we have been fielding a lot, emphasis on a lot of questions about the status of the mock draft machine. Where is it at? Where did it go? Why is it gone? When will it come back? Can we use it? What link can I find to access it? We've heard your cries. We've heard your questions. Just please understand, when we switched the website over on draft weekend last year, it became very clear we had a Lamborghini with a 4-cylinder engine in it. It was not optimized for the new version of the site. And there were a lot of aspirations that we had for next stages in evolution for the mock draft machine. So we made the difficult decision to say, we're going to use the new site. And we are going to rebuild the MDM from the ground up so that it is technologically streamlined and maximized to your smartphones and your computers and your tablets on the new website. But also it unlocks all of the things that we aspire for it to be in the future that it was not built to do when it was originally built. We're currently in beta testing of the rebuilt model. And in the very, very near future, sources indicate to me, potentially by the end of this week, the TDM Premium members will have an opportunity to also get into the beta testing of the new MDM. So we're doing final tweaks before we open it to TDM Premium, and then shortly after that, it will come back for everybody else. So I did a mock. I did a first round auto pick. 31 picks, as Chris is so keen to remind us every time he has the chance. 31 picks in the first round.
Yeah, there's a forfeited pick in there from the Miami Dolphins.
There is.
Good God.
Go pound sand, Chris. So I did what we like to do on Mondays with Mock Draft Monday. I figured we would do midweek this week for another mock draft, but this one done with the algorithm of the overhauled, rebuilt, soon to be returning Draft Network mock draft machine. Would you guys like the picks presented in the same flow that we usually do mock draft reactions here on the show? Every 5 picks.
Sure.
Sounds good.
Okay. Please know the only footnote here is there are a few picks on the back end, the back eight picks or so that are not necessarily reflective of the current draft order, because this was done last night before we had all of the picks to update the actual full draft order, the first round through the wild card round. So you'll hear a couple picks that might be out of a line, but other than that, it's the spirit is the same. Pick one, Chicago Bears draft defensive tackle Jalen Carter at number one overall. Number two, the Houston Texans draft quarterback Bryce Young, Alabama. The Arizona Cardinals at three draft pass rusher Will Anderson Jr. from Alabama. Pick number four, the Indianapolis Colts select quarterback Will Levis, Kentucky. And at pick number five, the Seattle Seahawks draft defensive lineman Brian Brisee, Clemson Tigers.
Seems very realistic to me, right?
That's the goal. That's the goal.
Stick there. Jalen Carter's the logical pick. I like how that stacks up with this early part of the draft.
Five for five, I think, in terms of it making sense.
Five for five. None of that seems crazy.
Pick six, the Detroit Lions draft defensive end Miles Murphy, Clemson Tigers. Pick seven, the Las Vegas Raiders draft running back Bijan Robinson.
Oh, yes.
Texas.
Oh, yes. Let's go, baby.
Pick number eight, the Atlanta Falcons draft Tyree Wilson, defensive lineman, Texas Tech. Pick number nine, the Carolina Panthers select quarterback C.J. Stroud, Ohio State. And at pick number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles draft cornerback Christian Gonzalez, Oregon Ducks.
Oh, we're 2 for 2. 10 for 10. I love this.
I know Kyle's pretty much spent the last 3 weeks of his life making sure that this
correct
got to a logical point. So
there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get to this moment of revealing a fully simulated first round that makes sense. So
I'm like, I'm happy from one perspective of it being good, but also as a reward for for what you've done, because I've very much been like, hey, Kyle, how's it going? And haven't really offered to do anything.
Yeah, so it's been all the responsibilities that I already have, and then all of that 2X with Mock Draft Machine for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Pick number 11, the Tennessee Titans draft offensive lineman Peter Skoronski from Northwestern. 12, the Houston Texans select wide receiver Quentin Johnston, TCU. 13.
So what's their combo? Hold on. What's their combo?
Bryce Young and Quentin Johnson.
Quentin Johnson. Okay.
Pick number 13, the New York Jets. Chris, are you ready?
Here it is. This is the real player
this
you're getting
in real
life. This is
the real player. Brian Branch, defensive back, Alabama.
That keeps happening, doesn't it?
That happens a lot, and I feel like that's very high for Brian Branch, but
it's,
I wouldn't
it's
hate
not.
It.
Oh. Kyle Krabs says he's a top 8 player in the class. It's not too high, I promise.
I found discount Brian Branch today, though.
Why draft Brian Branch in the first round when you can get this player on day
you
two?
You can't play this game with Brian Branch. You can't.
Joe wants to. Look at that look in his eye. He wants to.
Oh, I like Brian Branch. He's going to be a top 15 player on my board. I'm sure of it. But I found another guy that's similar that I like today.
I love that name. You want to DM me that name real quick?
I found a fun, big physical tackling nickel defensive back yesterday as well. Pick number 14, the New England Patriots select offensive tackle Paris Johnson Jr., Ohio State.
Oh, I hate them getting him.
And pick number 15, the Packers select safety Christopher Smith, Georgia.
Oh, the two safeties in the top 15, eh?
Yeah. A little safety love here. If you watch football, you know they're important.
They're real important.
They are pretty important.
They're real important.
I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, pick 16, the Commanders select cornerback Joey Porter Jr., Penn State.
Oh, I love that. Perfect. Love that for them.
The Perfect. Steelers at 17 select Broderick Jones, offensive tackle, Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah. Good.
At 18, the Detroit Lions select cornerback Devin Witherspoon out of Illinois. So their combo is Miles Murphy and Devin Witherspoon.
Sheesh.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 19 select quarterback Anthony Richardson, Florida.
Okay.
And the Seattle Seahawks at pick 20 select cornerback Kelee Ringo, Georgia Bulldogs.
Seems on brand.
So their combo is Brisee and Ringo.
Some traitsy dudes from big schools.
Right. Okay, 21. Okay. The Jacksonville Jaguars at 21 select Apu Aika, defensive tackle, Baylor Bears.
A.K.A. Siaki?
Siaki Ika. Yes, that's correct. Pick number 22 does not exist. Pick number 23, the New York Giants select.
It's forfeited from the Miami Dolphins.
John Michael Schmitz, interior offensive lineman,
Minnesota.
Chris,
he just gave you the
answer
to the test. Just say that moving forward so we don't piss him off every time.
John Michael Schmitz.
Does not exist.
John Michael Schmitz, Minnesota to the New York Giants at 23.
That's a great pick.
The Baltimore Ravens select Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC at pick 24. Pick 25, the LA Chargers select tight end Michael Mayer, Notre Dame.
Very nice.
Dallas Cowboys pick 26, cornerback Cam Smith, South Carolina. Pick 27, Cincinnati Bengals select tight end Darnell Washington, Georgia.
He'd be a big help for them, man.
That'd be a fun addition for sure.
Right, it's going to make their run game better too, right? And they might not be able to retain Hayden Hurst. I think that'd be really good. Think about what Joe Burrow was able to get out of Thaddeus Moss at LSU.
Right.
And now you take like everything that was bad about Thaddeus Moss.
And make it like the best qualities of this other player.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's a good pick. I like that a ton.
And be honest, like you don't need a high volume guy in this offense.
No.
Right, you're going to run 250 targets through Chase and Higgins, plus the backs. Like you don't need a tight end that's going to catch 75 balls. You need a tight end that's going to catch 40, average 12 yards a catch, and get you 8 touchdowns in the red zone. And Darnell Washington, I think, can be that for them, absolutely. Last five picks, for you guys. Draft dudes, do math. The Vikings at 28. Clark Phillips, cornerback, Utah. The Broncos at 29, Osiris Torrance, interior offensive lineman, Florida. The Bills at 30, Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver, Tennessee. Kansas City Chiefs at 31, DeJuan Jones, offensive tackle, Ohio State. And pick 32, the Philadelphia Eagles select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, wow. Alabama.
You did it. You pulled it off.
How do we like the mock?
Yeah, it's good.
Computer selected selections.
The computer did well.
Kyle, do you feel like, do you remember, this is going to be a weird analogy, but the amount of questions that we get about the mock draft machine is if we're like completely unaware that it's not available right now. Does it remind you of like when people are asking you, so when are you going to propose?
It's like, yeah,
okay.
No. I'm aware this needs to be taken care of.
Right.
I'm not just waiting for no reason.
Yeah, working on it, okay? Working right. on it.
When are you guys going to have a kid? When are you going to have your second kid? You know, I'm glad you asked. I've been meaning to tell you.
It's coming along. We got to get our house in order. We got to get our finances lined up. We got to make sure our goals are aligned with where we're at in our respective lives right now. And all of that's applicable for the mock draft machine, because there are some features included in this iteration of the mock draft machine that have not been done before. And we are very excited for everybody to get their hands on it when it is done. Just remain patient. We've been rebuilding it since May. Development takes time. Coding takes time. We're troubleshooting, making sure we are completely refining. We've put new layers into the algorithm to make sure that it's a more dynamic experience. It's a lot of things that it's just not, okay, well, we got the big board and the team needs and it just lines up and picks. There's a lot to it. We'll walk you guys through it when it comes back. But we hear your questions. We see your tweets. We see your questions. Just know we're not just like keeping it to ourselves for shits and gigs, right? Like, we're not. Right. Like, it's been a very comprehensive process. We're very proud of the product that you guys are going to get. We trust you're going to love it, but it's almost there. And it did not have a hiatus for no reason, I think is what I would say.
Ooh, great way to put it.
It's a good tease.
It's good.
I have seen it as well. Not as much as Kyle has, but I've seen it.
Right.
Big boards. We are doing a mock draft on the show tomorrow, so big board sliding into the Wednesday spot here on the show. And because it is it international or national Winnie the Pooh Day? Was it just national?
You know, let's go with national. I'm not so sure how celebrated he is Day, across the world.
Which is a, you know, childhood book, childhood cartoon. And so I said to my friend Joe and my friend Kai, I said, hey guys, why don't we do our top five childhood cartoons for a big board today in honor of this holiday? So that's exactly what we're doing.
Any predictions on overlap?
There's zero overlap. There might be overlap between you two. Might have overlap. You're
in the same age. We're 100 years older than you, Chris. I mean,
you guys are in the same age bracket. I'm a little bit younger.
I'm 33.
Yeah, I'm only 28. There's like 5 years. That's enough time for a lot of television development. Joel's like 50.
36? So you're 28?
That's 8 years. I'm 28, yes. 28. 28 years.
Why did I think Chris was 30?
No, they're 28.
Because he acts 30.
He acts older than both of us, you grumpy old Eeyore. Right. Piece of shit. Smile.
That's two.
Enjoy life a little bit.
Kyle blew the E tag on that.
Wait a minute. This week of all weeks, Kyle's going to hit me with that. You're going to hit me with the smile and cheer up gimmick. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Top five childhood cartoons here on the show. Who would like to go first? I predict two overlaps between Joe and Kyle. I'll get it in early. Two overlaps.
I'll say none between me and Kyle. None.
Really?
Yeah, I would say there's no overlap here. Can I give my, like, a little bit older, and these might be shows that Chris gets on his list, but like if 12's the cutoff, like I have a very definitive list that was like 13 and older and 13 and younger. Can I just shout out those?
Sure, please.
You want to do them now? Or yeah, I want to hear, I want to hear it. So
my 13 and older list.
Yeah, do you want to do it at the end or now?
No, give us that quick list right now.
Yeah, I'll give you that quick list right now. My honorable mention was Ren and Stimpy. My fifth place was Animaniacs. Well, you guys are down with Animaniacs. Okay. Fourth place was Dexter's Lab.
Okay.
Fifth place was Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Okay.
Second place was Rocko's Modern Life.
Okay.
And first place was SpongeBob SquarePants.
First of all, excellent list.
Thank you.
I don't think you could have done any better than that list. I will tell you. One of those that you mentioned is already on my list.
Yeah, good.
Another you put in my brain. I'm doing the Joe Marino. Oh. I'm making a live change to my list.
I will say it also really hurt to leave Courage the Cowardly Dog off.
It's a tough one, right?
Yeah.
It's a tough one. I will tell you one that I left off that I would probably fit that. Pinky in the Brain is one that I left off.
Oh, I love Pinky in the Brain.
For me, that was a tough one.
So I have actual characters.
That's fine.
As opposed to...
That's fine, Joe.
That's no problem.
You can do big board however you'd like, Joe.
That ain't no problem.
Right, very good.
That ain't no problem.
It's very good.
That ain't no problem.
Very good. All right.
Even though that's not what we said we were doing, that's fine. You do whatever...
Oh, really? We didn't? Let me check the tape real quick. Check the tape.
We're checking the tape on what I said to the group?
To Discord, Draft Dudes.
Sure. Please, check the tape. Please.
It is National Winnie the Pooh Day tomorrow. We could big board our top five favorite childhood cartoons. Yeah. Okay. I'm wrong.
Yeah. Thanks for checking the tape, Joe. Appreciate that.
Hey, I got an easy L.
Draft Dudes do math.
I'm taking a big L here. That's fine. But
you know what, Joe? I want to hear your list. Okay. So you know what? How about this? Kyle and I are going to get completely out of the way, and you can just present your 5-1. How about that?
Because they're characters?
Well, yeah. Because
I did it differently?
Because they have nothing to do with our list, so there's nowhere to bounce back and forth. So why don't you just do your list first here?
Well, here I am, effing it all up here. Okay. Joe's complete list, 5-1. My favorite characters from cartoons as a child. Number 5, Roadrunner. Mimi. Looney Tunes, big part of... Yeah, you know, if anybody knows what that is,
You've been
know.
A true draft dude. If you
you've,
understand,
you've been here for a
Roadrunner
minute.
And Beep It A Bee.
Obviously, Looney Tunes part of the deal. Growing up, I try to think what was my favorite Looney Tunes moments. My favorites was when Roadrunner was on there against his nemesis, the Coyote or Wile E. Coyote. So, Roadrunner. Number 4, Tommy Pickles from Rugrats. Appreciate his leadership. Good character.
Leadership.
Yeah, man. This guy wasn't ready to just stick in that playpen while everyone else was having fun. He wanted to get out on the adventures.
Great quickness, too. Good quickness.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and this guy kept a screwdriver in his diaper and his parents.
That had to be uncomfortable, I mean, man.
Resourceful.
Right. You got to respect it. Number three for me is Pongo from 101 Dalmatians. I mean, this guy had a lot of children and was willing to risk it all to make sure that they got back home. Dalmatian plantation at the end of it. I was a big 101 Dalmatians fan, and I got a lot of respect for Pongo. Number two, Timon from The Lion King. Obviously had to get a Lion King character on here. I'd ask myself, what character is my favorite? And it's Timon. I think he brought great comedic relief to some very stressful situations. And I like him. Yeah, I got a meerkat over there. I got a couple Timon things in my office right now. I'm a fan. And at number one, my all-time favorite cartoon growing up was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Obviously Leonardo, the best one. Spent most of my childhood wanting to be Leonardo, so clearly my number one childhood cartoon character.
You know how they say in life that people tell on themselves, right, with what they say? We should have listened when Joe said that there's not going to be two matches between your and Kyle's list. We should have listened to you.
I actually have two shows featuring characters that Joe included on his
list. One show.
Is it Rugrats?
It is Rugrats.
I also have Rugrats on my list. So
yeah.
That is...
Yeah, Rugrats everybody, on the list. For
everybody loves Rugrats.
Fun fact, Tommy Pickles, not a top three character on Rugrats, though.
Oh, man.
Reptar, my guy.
Okay. Reptar's up there.
You didn't even consider Reptar.
Reptar was not considered. I will tell you, as you get older, I think you start to resonate more with the parents of Rugrats as you age in life.
Stu.
You start to understand Stu a little bit Stu. More as you
How about
age.
The grandpa in that show?
The grandpa in that
Solid.
Show is great.
Solid.
But you know the meme of Stu making like the pudding at like 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yep.
I now understand that. At the time when you're a kid, you don't understand that. Now I understand that. Kyle, would you like to go first here?
Rugrats is my number five.
Ooh, number five on Rugrats.
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
Yeah, everything else was like comic booky stuff. So Rugrats was like the kid's cartoon.
That's fair. Number five for me. You mentioned it in your older category, but I was a little bit younger for this show, and I think this is a underrated cartoon. I don't think it gets enough love when you compare it with all of the other cartoons we're going to talk about here, but Kyle mentioned it. Dude, Rocko's Modern Life just rules.
Rocko's
what a great
Modern
cartoon.
Man, there were some like repulsive things from that show with like the boogers and all that.
A great theme song, Filbert. Right, that Kyle was just singing. Filbert
Mr.
is great. Mr. Big, I mean, you got some all-time classic characters in that show.
Heifer.
You got Rocko with the Australian accent. I mean, it's just great. Just fantastic.
What was the dog's name?
That was number five for me.
What was the dog's name?
Oh, I don't remember the dog.
Spunky?
Hold on.
Spunky?
Oh, might have been Spunky.
Hey, Spunky.
Yes.
When they did the big, like, Wheel of Fortune thing, and the wheel broke off and just went rolling through the town.
Oh, my God.
Filbert standing up there good. At the podium. Turn the page. Wash your hands. Turn the page. Wash your hands.
Yeah, Spunky.
Spunky.
Heifer. Yep. Filbert. Just very good. Just a great show.
Outstanding. Good call, Chris. Number four for me, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Cowabunga.
Yeah, man. Like, I wasn't the kid with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles lunchbox or anything, but like,
yeah,
I played like the, what was it? The Sega game or whatever. And the show itself, like it's on, you're watching it, right? It's fun. Turtles eating pizza and fighting a big rat samurai. Like it was fun. It was a fun show.
Call the rat samurai.
What else is, I guess the rat's the dad and then Shredder is
right.
The,
do you have, yeah, you know, Bebop and Rocksteady. I mean, did you have?
Did
fun
you see
labels for
when they actually did the live action sequel? Bebop and Rocksteady were in it. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I love those. Yeah,
number four for me. This is going to be an unpopular decision because I know some people don't love this show, but as a kid growing up in New York, and never having traveled to much of the West Coast, this cartoon gave me as a child a mental image of what the West Coast, of what California, what potentially like Hawaii, all of those places were like. Rocket Power, number four for me on the list. You got the street hockey. You got Otto and Twister and Reggie and Raymundo. You got just a bunch of great characters in that show. Rocket Power number 4.
I'm going to be honest. There was a kid at my school who I did not like that reminded me of, is Otto kind of the thick one?
Is Otto kind of the thick
is
one?
Is Otto the thick
I, you
one?
Know, I don't know if we can we do this in 2023? That's kind of like body shaming. I don't want to do that to Otto.
No, I'm just, how else would you describe a cartoon character?
No, Otto,
he's not like.
No, Otto is the one of the two kids.
Okay, now we're going to do the thing. Okay,
pause. Please pause. I think it's...
Sam.
Ah, Squid.
Squid, yes. There was a kid in my school who I did not like who reminded me of Squid, so I didn't jive with the show because of that.
Now, I will tell you that this show does have a personal impact on me, because in this show, they called people. There was an episode or a couple of episodes where people who wore socks and sandals together, they called them shoobies. And my nickname starting in the second grade was shooby.
Because of that?
Unrelated. I wasn't, you know, walking around with shoes and sandals, but that became my nickname. And so when you hear it in the show, it's an interesting thing. So that was number 4 for me.
Okay, number 3 for me, Spider-Man. The Spider-Man comic with Venom and Dr. Octopus. And I think that was probably an early 90s creation?
Dude, the original Spider-Man PS1 video game, excellent. One of the best video games made of all time. So I can co-sign this.
Okay, cool.
Number 3 for me. This is the one that Kyle mentioned in his list from earlier that was already on my list. Because it teaches you about science. And it teaches you about, you know, brothers and sisters not really getting along. Dexter's Laboratory at number 3.
You
got Dexter.
You idiot.
You got Dee Dee. You have the just parents that just have no idea what's going on in their basement with this big laboratory. Dexter's Laboratory, number 3 for me on the list.
Number 2 for me was the X-Men. Comic. You know?
There's a clear divide here in what was on television when you were a kid and what was on television.
And we established that there's a bunch of early 90s comic book cartoons in my household, but this was the one with Wolverine wearing the classic yellow outfit, and Sabretooth for some reason was Bigfoot, right? Just this hulking twisted creature with, I guess, his fur ran up all the way to look like he had no distinguishment for anything other than just his face popping out of the fur. And the Magneto character in that cartoon was the ultimate badass. So my favorite childhood villain was the original X-Men comic Magneto.
Number 2 for me, Rugrats, Tommy Pickles, Chucky, Lil, Dill, Phil, Angelica, The Backyard Adventures, Reptar. I mean, you name it. There is just stuff from that show that is just awesome. So number 2 for me, Rugrats on my list.
Number 1 for me was Street Sharks. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. If anybody recognizes Street Sharks or not, but... number 1 for me was Gargoyles. Just kidding. It was also not that. The animated Batman series was number 1. And I'm not even a big Batman guy anymore because nothing could touch the cartoon. Not the Batman Beyond one where it's Bruce Wayne was this haggard old Eeyore Chris Schubert character living in his cave, angry at the world all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Joe. Right. But the original Batman that had Mark Hamill as the Joker, and I know Mark Hamill did the Joker for 18 different iterations of the Joker, but that animated Batman was my favorite cartoon growing up. So that's number 1 for me.
Number 1 for me. This is a kind of a separator from everything that I just mentioned here. Rugrats, Dexter's Lab, Rocket Power, Rocko's Modern Life. you know, those are more your standard, your typical cartoons. But this show at number one had a cartoon dog, but had a real life person. Blue's Clues, number one for me on the list.
You've expressed your love for Blue's Clues at other times.
You know what, Joe?
I forgot about that.
Can you filibuster for me for just a quick second?
Sure, I can, because
he's going to go get something out of
this. Is he going to have a prop? Is he going to have a mask? What's going to happen here? Does he have a magic
DVD?
Notebook?
This is what I got for Christmas.
A Funko Pop.
I got a blue Funko Pop. Now, I will tell you.
Figured out Blue's Clues.
This is the new Blue. See this Blue? You see this Blue? My Blue.
Why does he look? Why does he look like that?
That's my Blue.
Why has he got the black soulless eyes?
Yeah, I don't know, because the new Blue's Clues is weird. Old Blue's Clues with Steve, Mr. Salt, and Mrs. Pepper.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me wanna wag my tail.
When it comes, I wanna yell.
Mail. We got Chris to sing on the show. It happened.
There
you go.
It took Blue's Clues.
What was a show that you automatically turned off?
Oh, a show that I
Things you just said.
Wow. Kyle's entire list.
I wasn't watching any of those, like the comic book stuff. Obviously, here I am today, not watching any of it now. Never really moved the needle for me. So.
Oh, this is going to be unpopular. Was not a huge Johnny Bravo fan.
Man, I'm pretty. Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo is another good one.
Zoink Scoob, like it sucked. I'm sorry, you had the same plot line for every, and it's like I get on certain actors for being the exact same character in every single movie that they star in, but like the script of every Scooby-Doo episode was exactly the same, and it was like, okay, I know exactly how this is gonna go. Like the gravekeeper is actually the monster and he's trying to scare him off.
The first person you always meet in the show that you don't think is the bad guy, but he ends up being the bad guy every time.
Oh, this is what's been going on around here. I can't figure it out. And it's like, there you go. That's the guy or the girl. That's the villain. There you go. So it was like I was just totally uninterested in Scooby-Doo because you knew exactly what
now was going on. Now, the Scooby-Doo live-action movie with Freddie Prinze Jr., we're fans of, right?
I didn't watch that.
Oh, Joseph.
Yeah, I also did not partake.
Some shout-outs here. Angry Beavers, anybody?
Oh, now Joe, who didn't participate in the list, now wants to give a shout-out.
I appreciate the call-out to Angry Beavers.
Angry Beavers
do.
Is good. Ren and Stimpy was a good call from Kyle.
Stimpy, you idiot!
That was very good.
Cat Dog?
Cat
Dog. That's a good
I considered like Codename Kids Next Door, but that was like a little older for me. Yeah, on no idea.
What was the Fairly Odd Parents?
The Fairly Odd Parents is another good one that was a little bit older for me.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, the name of the show was The Fairly Odd Parents, yeah.
You know, it was Total Buns.
Okay.
Darkwing Duck.
I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of Darkwing Duck?
Wasn't a fan. Wasn't a fan.
Never heard of it.
Goof Troop? Well, Goof Troop.
I've never heard of that either.
Pretty good.
How about the Wild Thornberries?
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's another good one.
The Mario comic was bad too. The Mario cartoon.
Well,
like the Nintendo character,
yes.
Mario and
yes.
Luigi.
Yes.
Okay. We're getting a Super Mario movie here pretty soon.
Yeah, they got Chris.
Before,
they got
right?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt doing the voice of Mario felt like a choice there.
Whoop-de-doo, I'm out.
The thing about Mario is we don't actually know what his voice is, right? He didn't really talk, right?
Yahoo!
I mean, that's it. That's all we ever heard from the guy.
That was good. That was good, Chris.
That was
Thank
good,
you.
Chris.
Thank you.
Right. Now we have today's cartoons, which I don't know. My daughter just watches YouTube videos of other kids playing with toys.
That's the new thing is I just watch other people playing things. Like,
is this happening in your world too?
Well, not with my daughter yet, but obviously like streaming is such a big, like video game streaming is such a thing. Like I kind of get it. Cause like, if you're going to play a game, like I'd like to watch somebody be good at the game versus me stumbling my way through the game and getting pissed off and be like, this is why I don't spend $60 on a video game. Right. Like, so I get it, but it's kind of this weird evolution where this was never a thing. And now I would be willing to say more people probably watch other people play the games than actually play the games. Yeah.
It me in that column. Most of my time when I'm working on some stuff and I don't, when I'm not in a meeting or recording a show, Twitch is on my other screen and I'm watching somebody.
Who's your favorite Twitch streamer?
Oh, my favorite Twitch
streamer. Did I just open Pandora's box here?
Yeah, because there's categories. Like, I watch a bunch of people play poker on Twitch, and that's not really video games, right? That's just me, you know, scratching that poker itch of my brain. I'm watching a lot of Warzone 2 right now. There's a father and a son who play together. And the father's like 65, 70 years old, and he's been playing COD forever. And then the son plays, and they play Warzone. It's a lot of fun.
Wow.
That's what I do in my spare time, you know, guys?
Well, we hope everybody who listens to Draft Dudes in their spare time enjoyed it. We will be back.
Mock draft tomorrow.
Oh, we get our third mock draft of the week.
That's right. But this is the one that you guys are doing, alternating picks.
Maybe we could use the mock draft machine.
Maybe.
To catalog the selections as we make them, like we used to do that, yes, with the old one.
Yeah, we can do that.
That praise be to would God. Be pretty dope. Yeah, it makes life a little easier, doesn't it, Joe?
Brother, geez, man, yes.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Kyle Krabs, Joe Merton, and Chris Schubert. Appreciate everybody carving some time out of your day. Make it a great rest of your day. Thanks to our friends over at BetOnline for their continued support of the show. We hope to see you again tomorrow.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.